कीर्ति कुर्वन्ति तीर्थानि स्वान्तस्तेन गताभृता। My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. We are reading this evening from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. This verse is spoken by the great king, Yudhisthira Maharaj, to his beloved and devoted uncle, Vidura. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the personality of Godhead is always with pure devotees, because of their unalloyed devotional service, which is without any tinge of fruit of action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. Vidura, Haribo. The Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful description of the great compassion and kindness of the saint Vidura, and how much we can learn by hearing the qualities of these great Paramhamsas. These children were very well behaved during kirtan. This proves that kirtan is the yuga dharma. People are not very philosophically inclined in this age. But for chanting and dancing, everyone is inclined. Huh? Do you like to chant? Do you like to dance? Do you like to hear philosophy? Do you like to eat prasad? Kevala Anandakanda, chanting, dancing, feasting. That is the conclusion of all philosophy. But hearing the glories of these great devotees of the Lord is the door that opens wide the perfection of this human form of life, which is self-realization. During the great intrigue between the Pandavas and the Kurus in Hastinapur, we find how the Pandavas were put in so many embarrassing and disgraceful situations. Although factually, they did not do anything to deserve it. Yudhisthira Maharaj was the embodiment of dharma, or truth. It is said that even in his mind, he never even considered a sinful act or a sinful word in his entire life. And yet, he and his noble brothers were persecuted in so many ways, because that is the way of politics. Throughout history, throughout all lands, when people are greedy for power and control, for wealth, they will do anything. We find, although Dhritarashtra was actually a very noble king, and his son Duryodhana was the embodiment of all good qualities, they both had one anartha, or unwanted quality within their hearts. And that is the greed for power and control. And this one quality practically burned to ashes like a raving forest fire all of their other good qualities. Therefore, in so many ways, they defamed the Pandavas. They said evil things about them. They spread terrible rumors and propaganda against them. Even when they were children, they tried to poison them. They tried to burn them in a house of luck. They cheated them in dice game. They banished them to the forest, took away all of their belongings. And that was not enough. Even in the forest, time and time again, they tried to ridicule and humiliate them. And through all of this, Vidura had to watch. Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, she suffered hundreds of times more than the Pandavas themselves. Why is this? Because a devotee is willing to accept any inconvenience upon his own life and accept it as the grace of God. But a devotee cannot tolerate seeing another devotee being mishandled, mistreated. And therefore, Queen Kunti, who was such a soft-hearted mother and loving devotee, she had to witness all of these terrible atrocities upon her own beloved children. You can imagine what she was feeling, not just for one night, but for 14 years while they were banished into the jungles. She did not know where they were, who they were with. She did not even know whether they were dead or alive. And all along, Vidura, he was the one that took care of Queen Kunti. She remained in his home. And he was always the well-wisher. Vidura was such a noble and gentle soul. Then time and time again, he was the one that saved the lives of the Pandavas. It was by his divine arrangements that the Pandavas escaped from that house of lack that was set afire. And yet, Vidura was so soft-hearted and loving that even the evil-minded Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, he was also their well-wisher. He was time and time again giving Dhritarashtra good advice, giving him the chance to rectify his sinful offenses and to live according to the truth. And it is described that at one time, Vidura, he was instructing Duryodhana, but he could understand that Duryodhana was so intoxicated by his great desire to be in power, his greed, his thirst for control over others, that he could not hear. And although Dhritarashtra was actually a great gentleman, because of his attachment to Duryodhana, because of that association, he was acting in the most abominable, sinful ways, and all of his spiritual principles were being compromised. No matter how great you are, if you choose bad association, you will become abominable in the eyes of God. Who are we compared to Dhritarashtra? Sometimes we think, oh, Dhritarashtra was such an evil man. But actually, he was a great descendant of the Kuru dynasty. He was the eldest of the three brothers. He was factually the son of Vedavyas, which means he was directly the son of the literary incarnation of God. What type of high birth did he have? And he was spoon-fed and trained by Bhishma himself. He had the best birth from the best family. He was trained by the best of all men. And actually, he was a great loving soul. He only had one defect. He was attached to the association of somebody who lusted for power, who could not control his mind and senses. In the Bhagavatam it is said, Mahatsevam dwaram ahurava muktes tamodwaram yoshitas yangvisangam. This means that by associating with great souls and rendering service to them, the doors to liberation are opened wide. But by associating with those persons who are too much attached to the wealth of this world and the enjoyments of this world, the doors to hell, the doors to the lowest ignorance are open wide. Whoever we are, we should know that our destiny is according to our association. Vidura was a man of great wisdom. He understood the truth of Dhritarashtra's heart. And he understood if he could simply give up attachment to the association of this son named Duryodhana, he would be such a great, great person. His name would be enlightened throughout history and the scriptures. But everything was spoiled for this one purpose. And therefore, Vidura, he was speaking to Dhritarashtra, that you are attached to offense personified in the form of your son. Give up listening to him. Do what you know is right within your heart. Do what all noble and great souls are advising you to do. And on so many occasions, Dhritarashtra, with tears in his eyes, he prayed, Duryodhana, give the Pandavas what they want. They are right, we are wrong. But Duryodhana knew that his father was attached to him. And he was very clever. My dear father, if you give him anything, Yudhisthira, I will commit suicide, and you will be the cause of my death. This is how Maya works. If you try to do anything good in life, you should know that there will be opposition. Maya will strike where you are most vulnerable to try to keep you away from the truth, away from God. So Vidura was like the spiritual master. He was instructing Dhritarashtra, don't be so much manipulated and exploited by the sentiments of your son. Do what is right. Krishna is on the side of the Pandavas. Whatever you do against them, you are directly doing against God Himself. When Duryodhana heard Vidura preaching to his uncle in this way, he became so angry like a serpent that was just trampled upon. His eyes became red like hot coals. He began to hiss like a serpent. And in very, very harsh and rude words, he screamed toward his beloved uncle that if you do not leave this palace and leave this kingdom at this very moment, you will not have even breath to breathe. You will die. And Vidura knew that Duryodhana was about to punish him, beat him, and perhaps kill him. Vidura was very pleased on one level and very sad on another. He was very sad to see that Dhritarashtra was supporting his son because he was blind to material attachment. He was blind to bad association. How pitiable. But at the same time, he was happy that he could get away from such an offensive condition and leave that place to go to the holy places of the world and worship the Lord in complete freedom. So at that time, Vidura left the palace. And for many, many years, he traveled to various holy places, simply hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In fact, he went to the holy town of Haridwar on the bank of the holy river Ganges. And there he met with Maitreya Muni. And he fell at the feet of Maitreya Muni and begged him to enlighten. You see, even the greatest devotees of the Lord, even such paramhamsas as Vidura, they are always seeking out the association of other saints. They are always eager to hear from them submissively. Sometimes we find that when people think that they're spiritually advanced, they do not think that they have to listen to anyone anymore, that everyone should listen to them. But we find here that really, truly, the more advanced we become spiritually, the more we aspire to humble ourselves to hear from the great souls. And after all of this, what is that? Acha. I don't mind getting wet, but the harmonium should be kept dry. This is auspicious. So here we find Vidura after the battle of Kurukshetra was fought. He did not have to take part in that. He was aloof. He was in a holy place. After Krishna and the Yadus left this world back for the spiritual world, Vidura is returning to Hastinapur. And he is returning for one purpose alone, to try to somehow or other continue his preaching to Dhritarashtra to save him from wasting his human form of life. This is the compassion of the great devotees of the Lord. And we find in this story that anyone who tries to do anything good in the name of God will meet opposition. This is history throughout all the great religions of the world. If there is no opposition, that means we must be doing something wrong. people think that if I become a devotee of God and I'm striving to do His work in this world, then why should there be any opposition? God is the supreme controller. But the fact that He is the supreme controller means that He will arrange opposition, because it is required. In this age of Kali Yuga, where people are madly running toward material sense enjoyment, do you think if you actually preach the Word of God or try to do something to put forward the mission of the Lord, that people will not be afraid? People will not be threatened? Our Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he came to America when he was 70 years old. He had no money. He had no friends. He was coming, and he appeared to be very, very harmless. But Srila Prabhupada told us that if they knew when I came into your country what I was going to do, they would have killed me right then. Why? Because I have come with that transcendental vibration of God's name and message, which is completely contrary to the direction of the life of practically everyone in the world. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how much opposition he and his devotees had by Chand Kazi, by the Brahmins. He was preaching that anyone who simply chants the name of God, whatever your caste, whatever your birth, can attain the highest level of consciousness and should be respected as such. The Brahmins hated him for this. They wanted to destroy him. And there were many Muslims. They also hated him because he was diminishing many of their political positions. At that time, India was under Mughal rule. And we find in the life of Prahlad Maharaj how much opposition came upon him, although he was an innocent 5-year-old child, simply because he spoke the Word of God. He had no other problem. He was a perfectly well-behaved son. He was a good student. He was pleasing to his father in every single regard except one. He was preaching God's word. And therefore, in so many ways, his life was threatened. So, taking to spiritual life is not to make a nice position for yourself in this world. People worship many demigods because they want wealth. They want so-called peace on a material platform. But if you worship the Supreme God, you will get the Supreme Peace, but not on the material platform. Why? Because God is all merciful. If He gives you all peace on the material platform, you'll be satisfied with the material platform. And the nature of the material platform is that utter devastation is inevitable. There's no peace in this world. It's all an illusion. At any moment there can be a cyclone. At any moment a hurricane. At any moment a flood. At any moment a terrible accident, disease, death. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. to the degree you're attached to the peace in this world, to that degree you're going to suffer when it changes. And it will change. It must change. That is guaranteed. Therefore, those religious people who are trying to promise you peace in this world, they are cheating you. They are giving you something cheap. And ultimately, it's going to be taken away and you're going to suffer. Is that what you want? Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, these great scriptures, and the sadhus like Vidura, who are presenting these scriptures, they are not promising you peace in this world. They are promising you peace within your own heart, which is transcendental to this world of conflict. The political situations in this world, God knows what tomorrow will bring. The example of how the goats are in line to the slaughterhouse and they're kept pacified by given nice fresh green grasses. But meanwhile, they're in line and one by one they're coming closer and closer to their death. But they don't see that everyone ahead of them is getting their heads cut. They only see nice green grass. So this material civilization is like a line of foolish goats. The material energy, Maya, and all of her representatives are just feeding you nice green grasses and making you think, oh, how nice life really is. How I'm enjoying. But at every step, you're coming closer to your death. Can anyone deny that? Is anyone here? Even these little children. They don't know what in the world I'm talking about, but they're also. At one time, we were like that. And soon we're going to be like something else. Can anyone change the course of time? Huh? Can you change the course of time? No. Would you like to stay a little girl forever? Or do you want to become like your grandmother? Huh? Doesn't matter what you want. This is the law of nature. Huh? Therefore, what the scriptures are teaching and what the true representatives of the scriptures are teaching is not peace in this world. Peace within. Self-realization. Arjuna wanted peace. Krishna said, if you want peace, you have to fight this war. Because that's what I want. And real peace is in surrendering to my will. Not in trying to make your own separate endeavors. And Arjuna found the supreme peace in loving service to Krishna.
Cheto darpana marajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam sreya kairava chandrakavataranam vidyavadhu jivanam Anandambudhi Varadanam Pratipadam Punamrutashvadanam Sarvatmasna Paramparam Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come with the formula by which all beings, all ages, all castes, from all nations could find the supreme peace within their hearts. And that is learning to take shelter of the name of God. To stop taking shelter of the sources of misery which are giving us pleasure in this world. And take shelter of Krishna, who is so benevolently and munificently making himself available through his holy name. Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. When we chant the name of Krishna, we are invoking the divine presence of God, who is the source of all bliss, Satchit Ananda. By associating with the all blissful, we become blissful. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. We become what we associate with. Dhritarashtra became a fallen fool because he associated with a fallen fool. But later on, when he associated, after Duryodhana was gone, with Vidura, he became a saint. What we associate with, we become like. Krishna is Satchit Ananda. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. He is non-different than his name. When we associate with the name of God, when we associate with the eternal, we become eternal. When we associate with the source of all knowledge, we become filled with pure knowledge. And when we associate with the embodiment of all bliss, we become supremely blissful. And how do we associate with Krishna? Through his name, through his words, and especially through his devotees. Therefore, in this verse that we are reading today, Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas, Tirata Kuravanti Tiratani, it is explained by Maharaj Yudhisthira that Vidura, saints of your caliber are holy places personified. Because Krishna is always within your heart. Therefore, whatever you say, whatever you do, reveals Krishna to the hearts of whoever you come in contact with. So what do we want in life? Vidura came to preach to Dhritarashtra in this particular chapter today to give up his crazy desire to still be trying to find peace in this world and take shelter of Krishna. And that is what all great saints teach. That is the meaning of a sadhu. A sadhu who does not teach that is a sadhu in name only, but not in quality. And if we want the true fortune and treasure that this human life affords, we should be seeking those persons, those places, which are giving this rare and most treasured of all gifts, information, the grace of God, how to find the true peace, not in this world, but in the kingdom of God within our own hearts. Is there any questions? Mahaprabhu, you would like to translate? Hare Krishna. To come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. This is the greatest act of love in this world, is to help one another to come closer to God. And these types of programs, these types of arrangements are perhaps the greatest need within our human society. After all, when we come home from our business or from our work every day, what do? Just 50 years ago in India, especially practically all over. Our Guru Maharaj used to tell us that after sunset, everyone would come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. They would have the kirtan of the Lord. Entire villages would come together, families would come together. They would hear Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavat, Gita, Ramayana. In this way, India had shown the world the greatest civilization. But now, unfortunately, we have our TVs, our televisions, our cinemas, our newspapers, and we are engrossed in these things. And we are leaving behind the true purpose of life, which is to come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So we would like to thank all of you for coming, and especially to our hosts this evening for making such beautiful arrangements. And of course, this program has been arranged in honor of the birthday of the son of Mr. Daga, Gaurav. So I would like to offer him our best wishes, that Krishna may always be with him, to guide him, to protect him in his loving service. And I request all of you also to offer your good wishes and your prayers for his auspicious future in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Is Gaurav here? Please come. Is there a day when you have to accept humiliation and embarrassment? But we love you very much. May Krishna always be with you. Of this auspicious gathering tonight, we will all honor Krishna's prasad. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.